This is the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. This podcast is about sharing our journeys into liberty through self-sufficiency, off-grid living, non-compliance, counter-economics, and the agora. Every episode will contain useful, practical, and applicable information you can use to gain the freedom you deserve. This information is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered legal or financial advice. You could even consider it to be fictional if you choose. Before we start the show, I want to remind you about The Hitching Post, our free bi-weekly newsletter all about liberty through self-sufficiency and counter-economics. To sign up, go to offgridagorist.com/newsletter or click the link in the show notes. Thanks. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off-Grid Agorist Podcast. I am Regina, and I'm here with Cyrus.
Good morning.
And today's show is going to be a little bit different. Essentially, we are refocusing the show. We're refocusing what we're going to be talking about with you guys.
Well, there's just shit's changing, you know, and there's a need, and a lot more people are getting interested in agorism. I worked with a guy about a year ago on a cabin rebuild. And in that time that we were working together, I always talk about agorism and counter economics and all that kind of shit. And the guy was kind of interested, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, that's cool. Well, anyway, we had exchanged phone numbers because we were coordinating work times and work days and things like that. Well, he called me back like three nights ago, and wanted to know more. Like, for a year, he had held that in his head.
Wow.
All that information. And although he was just kind of interested then, now he's really interested.
Wow.
You know, because he went through what everybody else went through with the government in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I think there's just a higher demand for strategy to outsmart the government.
Yeah. So we've been doing 50% off grid and 50% counter economics. And we've covered a lot of off grid. And we both live off-grid.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about all sorts of off-grid projects and ideas. And we went through the 7 pillars of going off-grid. So out of our 78 or 80 episodes, we have 40 episodes of going off-grid. That's a lot of content.
Yeah.
We also have 2 websites about off-grid living. We have MaximumOffGrid.com, which is my domain that teaches you how to go off-grid. You have offgridmaker.com, which is about all kinds of cool DIY off-grid hacks that you can do for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just created this massive amount of content around the off-grid space. But I'm feeling, and you're feeling, and we're feeling like the more urgent message is, how the hell are we going to survive all of this economically? You know?
Right.
We're like in an economic war zone right now in America, let alone the rest of the world. I know we have a lot of Canadian listeners and we have South American listeners, and I think we're all feeling it, you know, what these governments are doing to us.
Yeah, it's just crazy, all of the government intrusion into our lives that's happened in the past 18 months.
And it hits us in the gut, you know, where it hurts the most, which is the financial aspect, the economic aspect, how we're making a living.
Mm-hmm.
And being stuck, you know, basically being stuck in their fiat currency systems that are failing right now. You know, all these fiat currency systems are beginning to fail.
Yeah.
And we're seeing these massive inflations in everything that are persistent. know, they're not transitory. So, you know, there's these new normals coming out of how much things cost, and it's just bizarro world. So being that we're both, you know, counter economic survivalists, and we've been playing this game for a while, we want to teach our audience the things that we've learned along the way.
Yeah. And the new things that we're learning as we go. You know, things are changing.
Yep.
You know, just listing off some of the government intrusiveness. We've gone through business shutdowns by decree where, you know, the government can just say, hey, you can't open your business, which is ridiculous to me and to a lot of people, but they did it and people obeyed. And 100 years ago, that would not have happened.
No way.
Like the government would have said, you can't close your, you can't open your business for the next month. 100 years ago, people would have just said, bite me, you know, and our society has been so conditioned to the idea that, government is our parent and we must, be obedient children that people just do it. And there were a lot of stories of people who refused to do it, you know, but,
And then they made examples.
Anyway, so we endured these shutdowns.
They made examples out of some of them, like the woman who had the hair salon and was it Texas, and they arrested her for being open. You know, they made one example or two examples. And we've discussed this before about how they'll make an example out of a few to keep the herd in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that affected people's lives dramatically. That one thing. There are so many businesses here in my local area. I live near a town that is, I think, like 50. Well, one of them is like 50,000 people, and then the other one is like 250,000 people. So there's a lot of little local businesses. So many of them are no longer here. They're just gone.
Wow.
In one strip mall, I counted the other day, 5 businesses are gone.
Wow.
That were there 18 months ago.
Massive businesses shutting down. They're talking
hundreds
of thousands of restaurants and little retail boutiques and bakeries and all of these small business owned places are down the tubes to never reopen again.
Mm-hmm. And these are all mom and pop shops. You know, these are shops that people, I mean, I don't know for sure, but probably started that business with a life savings and, you know, had plans to build something that would carry them through retirement, and it's gone. It's just gone.
By the stroke of a pen from some bureaucrat assholes. Pisses me off.
Yeah. Canada had border lockdowns, like between provinces, and I think a little bit of that happened here in the States, between states. I can't remember for sure. But this is, you know, just an example of the government saying you can't go where you want to go. Now, it didn't happen here locally with me immediately. You know, there was no border lockdowns, but I live near the border between Arkansas and Oklahoma, and a lot of people go between these two states a lot.
Oh, yeah.
For work, for family, for entertainment, you know, and just to say, you can't cross this invisible line.
Insanity.
It's against the law.
Canada's been god awful, and we talked to the Weekend Agorist. She was on our show. What's her name again?
Morgan,
yeah. And she's in Canada, and they literally closed the border between where she was living and her off-grid property.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was quite a challenge. But isn't that insane? I mean,
wow. Well, it's just crazy that, first of all, it's crazy that someone thinks they have the ability to rule another person's life in that way. And then secondly, It is ridiculous that someone thinks it's okay for them to be ruled by another person in that way. Mm-hmm. Both sides of that coin to me are ridiculous.
It's unreal.
And the more you get into agorism and the more you understand the morals and ethics within that philosophy, the more you can see how crazy that stuff is.
Yeah, it's insane once you discover natural law, which is agorism is natural law. And, you know, the basic fundamentals of mankind, essentially, and how corrupted we've become and how far removed we've become from that into an anti-humanistic society. And the pandemic has ushered in these draconian rules and regulations to the degree never seen before, based on fear. I mean, it was all fear driven, and that's how they get us. It's always the fear.
Right.
They always play on that. So what else have they done to us that has been absolutely tyrannical?
Well, of course, they had the mask mandates all over the world. They had these mask mandates, and you know, people will say, "Yeah, but that's not really happening anymore. It was a short period of time," and yeah, that's mostly true. That is mostly over. But what it did that's more important is it set a precedent. Just like the government being able to tell you that you have to close your business set a precedent. Now, I mean, if you think that's the last time the government crosses that, steps over that, I don't know what to call it, but
that line. Steps over the line.
That authoritarian line, you know, they've crossed that line now. So they will make attempts to mandate all kinds of things in the future based on this idea that, hey, we've had to do this in the past and now we're going to do it again. And we got to take it a little step further this time. That's going to happen. I'm not predicting anything that's outrageous. This is history. This is how government has become what it has become.
Right. Wow. Well, yeah, because it's like a testing ground. They push that line farther and farther and farther back into our rights and our basic human rights. And they just keep pushing it until, before you know it, we're in basically a complete draconian state of government.
Yeah, we got the these apps on phones now that are tracking who knows what they're tracking now.
Oh, they're tracking the shit out of us so hard. Our biometrics, our face recognition, fingerprints to unlock your phone, that all goes in this mega database being bought and sold by these big data corporations. And yeah, they've got us. If you're connected to the internet, they can geolocate your exact pinpoint. I mean, they can find you with coordinates. It's pretty insane.
And they're spying on you through your phone. You know, they're tracking what you buy and what you shop for and, you know, who you talk to and what you Google. And, you know, the banks are spying on you, tracking every penny that you spend. And I don't remember what it was that just happened last year, but some kind of new regulation, some kind of new reporting that the banks have to do to the state that basically requires them to give up all of your information to the government, all of your financial information.
What it is,
Go ahead.
They want to report every single transaction in and out of your bank account. Every piece of, mainly the income. They're more concerned about the income than the outflow. They want to know every deposit made into your bank account, where it came from and why and what the source is.
Whereas before it was if you withdrew $10,000 or deposited $10,000, then it got flagged. You know, there was a ceiling of where that spying started, and apparently now there is no ceiling.
Yeah, the banks are backlashing to that because of the logistical burden, but the government will set up infrastructure and incentives to get this pushed through.
Yeah.
So they can literally see, oh, they just made a $200 cash deposit. Where did that cash come from? Was it taxed?
Mm-hmm.
That's how intensive this is getting. They want to tax every single dollar in existence. The digital dollar will make sure of that. The centralized digital dollar, which is government cryptocurrency and blockchain technology, will track your every single movement that you do. It could be attached to a social scoring system like they have in China. So you can use your digital wallet, but if you have a bad social score, we will penalize you or suspend you from using your wallet, something along those lines. The control is, it's getting scary, is what it is.
And there's a point in which you travel down that road far enough, there's no, you know, there's this point of no return. We're in a situation now where if you want to escape that, you can do it. There are ways to do it. But there will be a point in which if you're still in that system, you're locked in. You won't be able to exit.
Right.
You know, we're not there yet. And who knows when we'll get there, but it'll happen.
Well, we'll see it happen more in the cities, city centers.
Sure, yeah.
There will be much more conformity to all this new technology, and in rural areas, like, they cannot eliminate cash. I'm sorry. You cannot eliminate physical dollars all the way. But they can eliminate it in cities where they can control people in these epicenters of humanity.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was 85% of people live in cities now, our population. I don't exactly remember, but there's this huge migration into cities, this push into cities and suburbs surrounding cities.
Yeah, the majority of the population by far lives in cities across the country.
Yeah, it's coming down into economical survivalism, because the taxation rates are getting so heavy. And I wanted to bring up this point, and it's something I heard the other day. So we've all heard of serfdom, right? Back when people were slaves to the king. And you basically worked for the king. Serfdom, you qualified as a serf when you paid 25% of your income to taxes. Wow. So how many, 25% qualified you as a serf. So how many people are in the 25% tax bracket? You're literally, you are a serf.
Yeah, the majority.
The majority. We are serfs to this king. We're in medieval times. And that's what I've been kind of saying lately is we are literally back in medieval times where we have kings and queens and bloodlines that have morphed into quote unquote democracy and politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They're all via connected by blood and who they know, and they're in this elitist group of untouchables, and it is just like it was in medieval times, except way more complex to obscure the truth.
Yeah.
Back then, they just called it what it is. They're like, you're a freaking serf. Now they just won't call it like it is anymore. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, and this, it's happened throughout history. Governments evolve. Like, they don't, mm-hmm. you know, this great democratic republic, this grand experiment was just an evolution of elites controlling the majority of the people. It was just an evolution from monarchy, away from monarchy into something that looked different, but essentially creates the same outcome.
Mm-hmm.
A controlled population giving up their wealth to an elite minority.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the biggest transfer of wealth that just happened through the pandemic, and the trillions of dollars that were spent were transferred into the elite minority. Their wealth increased by right. huge amounts. I saw a graph for the, you know, top 5%, their wealth increased drastically. Most of the money went into that. And then the serfs at the bottom, their wealth did not even hardly increase at all. Despite all this stimulus and extra unemployment, the wealth did not increase by a fraction.
Yeah, well, your wealth can't increase when the money that you're given was just printed. That's not a wealth increase. Unless you're smart, unless you do some of the things like you did, where you took that newly printed money and went and bought actual things, you know, gold, other assets, gold yeah. and crypto and things like that. Unless you did those kinds of things, your wealth didn't increase. It actually decreased. Because
it
receiving
because
all
of
that
inflation.
New money, yeah, receiving all that new money actually made all the other money that you might have had in savings worth less.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Just wow. The money I did receive from the government, I would say the majority of it went into the off-grid property.
Yeah.
To the solar power system, the well, improvements on the property, acquisitioning the property. That's where the majority of it went. Some of it went into gold and silver. Some of it went into cryptocurrency. But the land is where it really went, which is super important, I think. I mean, I'm very happy that we did that, because no one can take this from us, of course, unless we don't pay our taxes.
Right.
Unbelievable. Land taxation. That whole thing just wows me.
Yeah.
If you don't pay taxes on your property, they can confiscate it. That's freaking yeah. draconian.
Well, because in their mind, they own all the land. You don't,
yeah,
you don't
exactly.
actually own it.
We're just renting it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then you put on top of all of that, all of the licensing and permitting that's required for nearly everything now. Like if you... It's crazy the things that you have to get a permit or a license for. Like, if I want to cut your hair and have you, pay me for cutting your hair, I have to have a license. Like, why?
Well, because it's safety, right? Isn't it safety, sire? It's got to be, you know, because if you don't have this license, you're not practicing safely.
You're not practicing safe hair cutting. That's got to sound ridiculous to more people than just me. You know, or when I had the concession stand and I had to get a license to learn how to safely make a hot dog, like, or
but
if
did
I want
to teach you how to safely make a hot dog? Did your, when you got the license to safely make your hot dog, your food handler's permit, did they teach you, or was it just a money exchange?
Well, I never did it. So, you know,
oh,
but
yeah.
I did ask them if they were going to teach me, and they said no. So it's just a money grab is all it is. You know, if I want to work at a bar and sell you a mixed drink, I have to have a license to do that. This is ridiculous. The idea that we tolerate this stuff is ridiculous.
Well, a permit basically means asking permission. So you're asking permission from the government if you can cut hair, if you can sell hot dogs, if you can mix a drink.
Yes. Will you please allow me to make a living?
Yes, but you must pay us money.
Yeah, right.
And you have to re-up your license. This is a yearly license. This is not a lifetime subscription. Or this
yeah,
is not
and
a lifetime license. You are subscribing to our permission system.
Yeah, and that's no different. Again, that's just another example of the evolution from monarchy. Because it was the same thing with the monarch. If you wanted to go into the town square and set up a booth, you had to pay the monarch.
Yep.
You know. Anyway, it's just crazy.
We're in medieval times, yep. Yeah,
it's
we're in medieval times
yeah.
for sure.
And then once you get this permit or this license to effectively make a living and get permission to do so, then they're going to tell you how you can and can't do it. You know, all these regulations, not only does government know best on whether or not you should be able to cut someone's hair, but they're also going to tell you how you have to do it, you know, what equipment you must use. And I don't know what the regulations are for a barber shop, but I know they're there.
Oh, it's just, yeah. I was just thinking about a restaurant owner we know in Tombstone, Arizona, and he is, he has to seal his brick floor outside on the patio. He has to seal it with some sort of epoxy so there's no cracks, because food could get in the cracks and contaminate. And he said, if I seal all this brick, when it rains, the water won't drain. So you're telling me I have to seal my patio made of brick so things like dirt and food don't fall into these cracks, but then my patio won't drain and it'll flood.
Huh.
That's what the health inspector told him.
Yeah. Well, there's probably another inspector he needs to talk to about drainage.
Oh, yes. You'll have to get some sort of plans created and, yeah.
Some so sort of special exemption from the Rainwater Drainage Commissioner. It's ridiculous.
This is unreal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're getting encroached on left and right. Like, the walls are closing in on us. I'm sure most of us can feel it. Even like a normie, even like a non-conspiracy theory, just a normie has to feel it. I mean, come on, how can you not feel it?
After this last year, for sure, people are feeling it, because you hear people talking about it that you wouldn't have heard talking about it before.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's why we're shifting the focus of the program, because we're going, you know, we want to reach those people, because
right,
this encroachment doesn't end. There is no end to it. The government's not going to reach a point and say to the citizens, okay, we feel like we have finally, after 240 years, we have gotten this governmental system locked in place just where it needs to be, and we're no longer going to encroach on any more of your rights.
No, that's we're easing off.
Yeah, no way.
They don't ease off.
It's never going to happen.
And this is how civil
wars
start. Yeah.
Doesn't matter who you elect to put in an office, what great savior you think is going to get your vote to save you from all this. It's not going to happen.
Nope. They're all in the same boat. It's all the same huge bureaucratic boat of bullshit.
Yeah, and people are starting to see it. People are starting to feel it. People are starting to notice that their freedoms are being taken away. Their liberties are being infringed upon. And, you know, when people start to feel like they have in the past year, the real pressures of this government intrusion, they're going to start to feel helpless and frustrated and angry, and then they're going to feel rebellious. And that's where we want to catch people. That's where we want to start talking to people.
Right. When you're ready to make a change.
Yeah. We want to nurture that rebellious feeling, that rebellious nature, into something that can be life changing.
And safely as well. How to do it safely. You know, that's a huge thing, is there's the fear factor of, what if I do something and it's against the law and I'm going to get caught and I'm going to owe this and I'm going to go to jail or prison? You know, there's ways to mitigate risk and there's ways to mitigate your fear, because they work on fear.
Mm-hmm.
That is how they keep us in line, is the fear. So we have both for decades now navigated through this system. So we're kind of ahead of the game. And as we're still learning, we are getting more and more knowledgeable, and we want to pass this knowledge on to our audience of how we are navigating and mitigating these risks and how to cut the fear down and just go for it.
Yeah. And we've both chosen, you know, the agorist philosophy as the, you know, the way ahead kind of thing.
It's the way to go in a nutshell.
Well, it's consistent and it's ethical and it's peaceful. It's not violent. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just a way for you as an individual to, find more freedom.
You right.
know, whereas the political process does not give you that. The political process does not give you any more freedom, and you can't do it alone.
Mm-mm.
Whereas agorism, you can do it by yourself. You can become an agorist by yourself and become more free.
That's a good point.
And if that's all that ever happens, you're more free. Our goal is to increase the numbers of the agorists, because if we can increase the numbers of the agorists, then not only do we make ourselves more free, but we can make everyone around us more free.
Right.
And that takes numbers. That takes people, you know, moving to our side, which is the point yep. of the podcast.
Exactly. Well, one big thing, you know, I'm really into cryptocurrency, and it's been the Wild West, and the regulation in America is getting so gnarly, and what we're allowed to do in America is getting so limited on crypto. But it's a great tool to, if you know how to use it right, to rise above and circumvent around the government. So I really want to go into how to use cryptocurrency to your advantage without government interference, which most people don't think it's possible, but it is totally possible.
Yeah, so we're going to spend a lot of time on crypto in the future, in future episodes, and really break yeah. it down. And 'cause crypto can be a confusing thing from the surface, you know, it can just look daunting to someone who doesn't know the ins and outs of it, but it's really, it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. And so, I mean, we're talking about, you know, you're really big on the philosophy of agorism. I'm still learning a lot about that, and it's great to have the philosophy foundations, but we are building upon that and going into applicable agorism, how to actually use it in your everyday life to your advantage, right. to the advantage of others around you, which is huge because not a lot of people talk about it. And what we're going to talk about, like, just not a lot of people are talking about, because A, it takes right. guts to come out and talk about it, and B, not a lot of people know how to do it. So this is really scarce information.
Yeah.
Really. So, we did write a book about counter economics and applicable agorism, and it's already outdated.
yeah, we're in the process of doing a revision right now. Yeah.
So I would encourage you to buy the book, but wait, because we have to revise it because the laws have changed to be more, of course, more aggressive and less in our favor.
Right.
So, you know, we don't want to give outdated information. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. Agorism, applied agorism, counter economics, cryptocurrencies, black market, gray market, and really just how to circumvent the tyranny that we have all been subjected to.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to start calling all that stuff pirate technology.
Hell yeah. I'm a pirate.
Land pirate.
Land pirate. I'm a landlubber, really. I am definitely a technological pirate. At least the user end of things. I might even start building pirate technology. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think that pretty much wraps it up. It's a direction I think will help people. Yes, the off-grid content definitely helps, but this is more urgent. This is way more urgent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Well, and we also have, you know, you've got your Maximum Off-Grid website. I've got Off-Grid Maker, your Maximum Off-Grid YouTube channel you've been doing a lot of stuff with. So you'll still be able to find all of our off-grid content. It's still there. We're not getting rid of any of our off-grid podcast episodes. You'll still be able to find them on our our archives. So, you know, we're just going to focus more on the philosophy of agorism. Why make these choices? And then the counter economics, how to get the freedom that you are looking for. What are the tactics?
Exactly. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
All right. Head on over to offgridagorist.com. You can find our episode archives there. That is where we are selling our digital materials. We also have free digital materials. A lot of those are going to be updated here quite quickly. And you can send us a message through there, too. We have an email submission form if you want to get in contact with us with any questions or comments you have.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. This is Regina signing out.
Talk to y'all later.